Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How y'all doing this morning? I just have some announcements for y'all. So if you are a first-time guest, we're so excited that you're in the house with us this morning. And we have a connect room on this side of the building. Whether this is your very first time, or maybe you've been coming for a couple months or even years, you can go over here and meet with some of our pastors and leaders. We have Vacation Bible School August 16th and the 20th. It is from 9 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. This year's theme is Treasured, Discovering That You're Priceless to God. You can sign up your children at the His Kids desk out in the foyer after service. And if you'd like to serve the children, you can see Pastor Aaron. And next Sunday is Awaken Monthly. If you are ages 18 to 30, can you wave at me? Woo! So next week, we are having a prayer and worship night. It's going to be amazing. It's next week at 6:30 p.m. And then we are starting a new thing called Celebrate Recovery for Men. It'll be Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. beginning August 19th. You can visit the group's desk out in the foyer for more information. So if you guys will just stand to your feet with me, the altars are open, you can come up for worship. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that we get to come into your house and that we get to praise you, Jesus, for all the things that you have done and for all the things that you are going to do. Father, I thank you that your fire is in this place, oh God, that your anointing is falling in this place, Jesus, that today is going to be an amazing day in you, God. We are here for you. We are here to honor you and to worship you, Jesus. Whatever distractions are holding us back, Father God, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now that we get to come and just be in your presence, God. I thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Who's ready to praise God this morning? Hallelujah!
Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Whoa. Jesus is highly, mighty, worthy. Jesus is gracious, patient, generous. And there is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name,
no other name
that can save, deliver.
Omnipotent, Jesus is living and giving and loving, and there is no other name that is greater,
no other name,
no other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore.
No other name,
no other name that can save. Yesterday.
up to the name of Jesus. No other name, nothing can separate us.
No weapon formed against us
can stand up to the name of Jesus.
Come on, one more time.
No other name,
sing it out.
Nothing can separate us. No weapon formed against us Jesus. No other name that is greater than Jesus. The same yesterday, today,
forevermore.
No other name,
no other name
that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus, the same yesterday,
forevermore.
There is no other name that is greater than Jesus.
Shout it out, shout it out. Oh, I will live, I will not die. The resurrection.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you never stop. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness,
my God, that is who you are. Sing, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. No. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it,
you're working.
You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness, my God is who you are. Waymaker, waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper,
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Come on, let's just take 30 seconds and raise our hands and just worship the Lord for who He is. He is the provider. He is the way maker. He's the river in the desert. He's the one who died for us. We put everything else aside, every distraction, every weight, we set it down at your feet and we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back, Lord.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
And it's all about you. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's not about me, Lord. It's about you,
it's
Jesus.
About you,
yeah. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I love the presence of God because it really just kind of exposes things in rooms. And I was just standing here and I'm reminded that Hagar, and I'll give you the backstory in a second, but she had this moment with God where she was able to say, "You're the God that sees." And this is a powerful thought in Genesis 16. Here's what happened. Abraham, Sarah can have a baby. They're promised a baby. Sarah comes to Abraham, says, here's my maidservant. Have our baby with her. She has the baby. She's really innocent to this. And Sarah gets mad at her, starts persecuting her. She's harsh towards her. And she runs off. And God meets her there. And she has this epiphany. She says, "You're the God that sees me." I'm telling you what, there's people that go through life feel like they've been overlooked by God. But God sees you. God has not overlooked you. You might feel overlooked by your family. You might feel like the moment is wrong. You might feel like you're buried and you're worthless. But the truth is, God sees you. He's the God that sees. And the truth is, like, church is not entertainment. We're community. And one of the issues sometimes with community is we like to look like we're the perfect person, right? I got no issues. I got no problems. I'm good. But didn't Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 35, didn't he say, and the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another? And I'll tell you what, it's really hard to feel loved and to be loved when you cover up what you're really going through. If you got to cover up what you're going through, it means you don't know that you can be loved. Man, vulnerability means that you know you can be loved. And if we're a community, we got to make sure that we can know that we can feel loved, that we have a God that sees us and we have a community that sees us, and our love for one another will prove to the world that we love God and we're His disciples. And I say all that to say, like, I think there's people in the room who just feel overlooked. I feel like there's people in the room who are like, man, does God even see me? What is this about? Like, what the heck? I know I shouldn't say that from the pulpit, but that's what you've been saying in your bedroom. Like, oh, what is real with this thing? And this morning, if you feel like, man, I'm overlooked, can I tell you the truth? God sees you. And not only does God see you, but there's a community that wants to love you through whatever you're going through. We do something we haven't done probably maybe in a long time. If this is you and you feel like I'm speaking to your heart, you can be honest in here. You don't got to play perfect. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray together. We're going to pray for fresh revelation. We're going to pray that we feel the love of God in this room. Just stretch your hands towards those people. Come on, if they're in your group, if you know them, come up and just grab them by the shoulder. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're a God that sees us. The Lord, while people might overlook us, that while it might be a situation we never created, that God, you see us right here and right now, and you said that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. So I thank you now for a peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you, Jesus, for stepping into a situation right now and giving us a revelation that you're a God that sees us in this moment. You're a God that sees us, and you see problems to bring resolutions. So, Father, I thank you for correcting issues. I thank you for bringing things into alignment. I thank you, Jesus, that we can do what you've called us to do. And that's to love one another, proving that we're your disciples. So, Jesus, I thank you right now that we realize you see us, and that's the most important thing. In the mighty name of Jesus, come on, if you love him, if you appreciate him, can I hear an amen from the back to the front? No, like an amen, like we're alive and awake. Amen, amen. Here's what we're going to do. We got meet and greet on the schedule. Can you go talk to somebody you haven't talked to? And don't be a snob. If you're sitting down, get up and go say hi to somebody. Go talk to somebody you don't know. Say hi to somebody. Thank you. someone to do the offering, guys. Keep going.
To finally hug people again and say hello, that really it's taken us to a place now where it's hard to stop, which is, I think, great. But I am excited. So as you make your way back to your seats, I know for some of you this is the part of the service where you'd probably like to take your time back to your seats, you know. But listen, this is by no mistake that God wants us to talk about our finances and our money. Otherwise, there would not be over 2,000 scriptures about your money in the Bible if God did not care about it and have something to say about it. So, let's get into this today. I am excited about it. So, now that we're all happy, we just had a great worship service. Now I'm about to step on your toes, maybe for some of you, really hard. Sorry, don't blame me. This isn't me. This is God, okay? I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. So I'm going to read you two scriptures. The first one, Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The second scripture I want to read is 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, "For the love of money." Let's stop right there real quick because a lot of people miss a very important word here. And they just go right to money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root. It's the love of money. But anyway, that's not where I was going. But it produces all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So, why are we reading those scriptures? Well, because I think God wants to reveal some heart issues today. I'm just going to say it. Because listen to this. You might be in here saying, "Well, I'm not evil. I love God." But yet you've not obeyed his commandments in the terms of your giving and your tithing. Listen, again, it's not me. This is the Lord. It says you can only serve one or the other. And if you choose to serve the other, which is being your money, and you allow your money to be over what God has commanded, he's saying there's a root of evil in your heart. It's a heart issue. So you can get mad, but listen, this isn't to condemn you. This isn't to shake you down and make you feel like a horrible person. I think this is the Holy Spirit trying to prompt you and saying, "No, I don't desire you to be evil. I want to get rid of any evil, ill-willed intentions in your heart that's withholding great blessing and favor for your life." Because listen, God is a God who wants to bless you. He's a God who wants you to have more than enough, not just for the simple fact. And this is the other side of it. A lot of us have fallen into religion, and we do it out of obligation, and it means nothing, and we get frustrated because we're like, "Well, I thought this tithe thing is supposed to work. Well, I haven't seen anything happen." But you're doing it out of obligation, or you're doing it from a religious heart, or you're doing it only to get rich. Listen, God wants you rich, but not just for, you know, your own self-satisfaction. He wants to use it to impact and reach others. So with this, I want to encourage you today, because really what this is saying is that you're choosing to stay in bondage and slavery to your money, and you're okay with being your own God. I don't know about you. When I used to live this way, I had struggle after struggle after struggle. It seemed like there was just holes in my pockets constantly. And it seemed like that's all I was chasing after, was trying to get more money, more money, more money. And anytime I got it, it was already gone. But the minute I stepped into this and said, "You know what? If I truly say that I love," because I think a lot of us think we love God, but really we just like him. We like the ideas that he has for us, but when it comes down to really stepping into full obedience, which is obeying every part of his word, whether it's comfortable or not. And listen, sometimes it is uncomfortable. You know, some of us have had some financial hardships and it is uncomfortable, but God is trying to get you out of an uncomfortable place so he can bless you, so he can bring you to a new place, so you can bless others. God wants people to see your life and say, what is it about you that man, I have to have that. How can you walk through every financial storm with peace? How can you walk through those things with joy? How are you not struggling right now? And this is our ability to show them the way and the answer. But we got to get our heart right and choosing to step into full obedience with the word of God, especially in regards to our finances. Amen? So I'm believing today that God is already prompting some of you. Some of you have gotten really annoyed sitting in those seats and you don't like what I'm saying, but I think, listen, this is your time to respond to the Holy Spirit today. Change it. That's the crazy part. You can change it in a moment. You can change it by deciding today, God, and again, this is, yes, 10% tithe. That's what you have to give for your tithe. But if you want to give above that, that's, you know, it's not about amounts. We make it about amounts. It's not. It's about our simple obedience and our response to the Holy Spirit that can change everything. Your life can be forever changed by one decision today, by choosing to step into full obedience if you've not done it up until this point. So I want to encourage you, don't withhold. Don't remain the God of your finances and live in struggle. Step into obedience. Allow God to become the God of your finances and see what he will do with your life. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and give. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. We are going to declare the word of the Lord over our lives. It says, if I obey, I am blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Amen. Go ahead and bring your tithe and offering up this morning.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
In my storehouse.
If I obey, I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
If I obey, I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
If I obey.
Chasing me down, tripping me up. The blessings are chasing me down, tripping me up. The blessings are chasing me down, tripping me up. I am a child of God. Blessings are chasing me down, tripping me up. The blessings are chasing me down, tripping me up. The blessings are chasing me down, they're tripping me up. Because I am a child of God. Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Guys, Pastor Spencer is obviously not here, but they did want to say hi to you, so you can go ahead and check the screens real quick as they...
Good morning, family from Dallas, Texas. We're so excited that you're watching, that you're in the house of God today. And we're excited because it's not just in Horseheads, it's in Ithaca, it's in Mansfield, and all the other campuses that God has blessed us to be able to minister with and to partner with to see God's kingdom come, His will be done. We've been down here at KCM.
Yeah. It's been a powerful week just filled with the word and the anointing.
Oh my goodness, now.
And God has given Pastor a special word for you this morning to encourage you with.
Now, I want to remind you that we are built for the supernatural, that not only are we to share the gospel, but Jesus preached and healed. And so today you're going to start your learning process, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil.
All those. That's right. Healing all those.
You and I, Jesus said, that greater work shall we do because He goes to the Father. So I want you to pay attention today, because you got to have faith to believe that when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
So today we're going to prove to you that it is always God's will to heal.
So, and expect signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word today.
Amen. We love you.
We love you.
We're here for you. And we will see you next Sunday.
And that was the sermon today. You can bow your heads. No, I'm just playing. That would be weird. I couldn't get used to like an online service like that. I couldn't do it. It just doesn't work for me. I don't know. But I'm excited to be with you guys today. They will be back for Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday night. So if you're not coming to Rock Solid Faith yet, you should be here. Who's been to Rock Solid Faith? Let me see your hands. My goodness. Who has not yet been to Rock Solid Faith? Who hasn't been to Rock Solid Faith in years and years and years and years? It's open for everybody, and I'd love for you to be here. I think our education and what we know of God is what we can participate with God at. And it's so good to remain in the Word, in knowledge of God, or else we get caught up in foolish and wrong thinking. I don't think anyone in here would raise their hand and say, I want to think wrong about God. That would be wild. We're here because we want to know more of God. We want to think more like God. We want to operate more like God. We want God in our life. And what Pastor's introducing this month is the fact that we are built for the supernatural. And for too long, people have sat and thought that it was only the pastors. It was only those with a title. It was only those with a doctorate. It was only those who were ordained. But the truth is, that's not true at all. That the work of the ministry is for every single believer. My job, pastor's job, is to equip you for the work of the ministry. Not to do all of the ministry, but the fact is, you have ministry in your workplace. You have ministry to do in your family. You have ministry to do in the community that I might not ever meet, that I might not ever know. And when we are equipped to do what God has called us to do, then that's when we start to see a community change. That's when we see God show up in a community. Not when we think old school of, well, it's the pastor's job to lay hands on everybody. No, if you're there right now, like, imagine how crazy this would be. You're in a restaurant and somebody, like, starts to have a heart attack. Someone pulls up the phone and calls 911, and you pull up the phone, like, I gotta call my pastor and see if he'll come and pray for them. There's some situations that you can't just call Pastor Spencer and he's going to rip right over there and lay hands on him as they're having a heart attack. Most situations, it's God who's equipped and empowered His believers to do the work of the ministry. The power is in your hands. The power is living inside of you. The Holy Spirit wants to work through you, and we are built for the supernatural. Will you say that real quick? I am built for the supernatural. And some people would think this is weird, right? We're at this place in the world where people think the supernatural power of God is weird. But that's kind of crazy to me. Man, it's not weird. And I guess Pastor got a lot of flack for this online. Who cares? I guess people don't think it's weird to have Reiki healing done in a massage. But it's weird for the pastor or preacher or believer to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. It's basically the same thing, just one's good and one's demonic. How did we start to call bad good and good bad? Oh, wait, that's a sign of the end times. Oh, I forgot. Crazy me. Man, we think it's weird, right? When, like, we pray and expect God to answer our prayers, but people will start to rub on crystals and wear crystals and rocks and call us weird. But I'm praying to the one that made your rock. You're praying to a rock. I'm not weird. Say it all you want. I'm not weird. There's a creator and a creation. I'm praying to the creator, not the creation. Talk about the millions and millions of Ouija boards that have been sold for decades and decades and decades. People are obsessed with the supernatural. Now, have some Christians made the supernatural weird? Absolutely. But those people were probably already just kind of weird anyways. But if we're being truthful about this, the supernatural is not weird. People are drawn to the supernatural. Man, people, look at the movie theaters. Look at the box office sales of the movies that are around the supernatural, the demonic things of the world. People are drawn to this, and we need to redefine, and we need to start to live out the fact that we are supernatural. We were made to experience the supernatural. We were made to walk and talk with God, which is supernatural itself. And it's not time to be quiet about what people think are weird. It's time to show them the truth of what is true, and that is God himself. Man, someone was talking to me the other day, like, well, there's so much backlash on this, it makes me not even want to do it anymore. No, it makes me want to do it more when there is backlash against it for two reasons. One, it's showing me that people simply don't understand it and they need to see truth. Or two, it's just making the wrong people or the right people mad. I got no problem making the right people mad. You know, Jesus didn't say that everything was going to be rainbows and candy. There is a demonic force that is trying to fight against the kingdom of God. And some people, well, this is kind of, it's not weird. It's what the Bible teaches. There's personal attacks. There's attacks against the kingdom of God. But we know scripturally that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We know there will be attacks. 1 Corinthians says it like this, that we cast down every thought and imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. See, when we start to talk about the supernatural, it's not time to get weird about it. It's time to realize the world is very accepting of the supernatural, and we as believers carry what they are accepting of. You know, I've never met anybody that was sick and wasn't excited about getting healed. I've never met somebody like, oh, yeah, actually, I don't want my ACL to be healed. It's fine. I'm good. I don't want that. You know, everybody I've met that was sick wanted freedom from their sickness. They wanted deliverance from their sickness. And I think it's time that we define as the church in Chemung County, in our sphere of influence, what the supernatural actually is. And what the true supernatural is, because there is a counterfeit. And the counterfeit might look good, but it'll actually leave you worse off. The modern church, though, has attempted to remove the supernatural from church, from talking about it, to make church what would be palatable. You know what's crazy to me? When you read the scripture, and I want to be a house built on scripture, amen? When miracles happened, people responded in a positive way, not a negative way. When people got set free, people responded in a positive way, not a negative way. And we as the church can't separate the supernatural of God from God. It's his nature. And to deny a portion of his nature would actually be denying him. I couldn't imagine looking God in the eyes and be like, I really like most of you, but this part, I don't think people would like you. Yeah. Imagine looking at your spouse being like, hey, I know that this is how you always talk and what you always do, but when we're around these group of people, don't be you. Imagine that conversation. Yeah. Like, oh, you're ashamed of me? Oh, you don't think that they'll like me like that? But we say that to God. I don't know. As believers, we carry this. We've been called to carry this. Every believer. Man, you might get saved today. Guess what? You can lay hands on the sick today. You might have been saved for the last 60 years and you've never laid hands on the sick. You know when it's time to start? Now. You might have laid hands on somebody yesterday. You know when the time to start is? Now. And it's not just for the church building. Me and Pastor Aaron were just praying for one of the gym owners the other day. It's for everywhere. At any moment, at any time, for any believer. Jesus said this to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20. I'm going to read them. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Not just those in the pulpit, not just those with the title, not just those who are ordained, not those who have been in the church for 68 years, not those who are super special, those who believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
Then these signs are available to accompany your life. Ready? They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus had spoken to them. He was taken up to the heaven, sat down on the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message, ready, by accompanying signs. And some people have made this weird, you know, there are people who, like, who charm snakes, quote, in the name of Jesus. That's not actually what this is talking about. All right, this is not like some West Virginia back hills. You found like 12 people wrestling with a rattlesnake. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's not talking about getting a little vial of poison, XXX, and if you really believe, then you'll drink and you'll be fine. That's literally not what the scripture is talking about at all right here. It's saying that while you're being active in the kingdom for the king, if these things try to harm you while you're working in the name of Jesus, they won't harm you. The sign is when you're working by God, the signs will accompany you. You don't go chasing the signs to prove you're with God. No, no. God proves he's with you by accompanying you with signs. It's not weird. Don't make it weird. All right? Don't be weird. Lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Cast out demons. Heck yes, some people got some demons. You know somebody with a demon, raise your hand. Some people act like it, bro. It's wild. Like, do you need coffee or is that the devil? I'm just kidding. Rare form this morning. I made somebody laugh. I'm not funny at all. I don't know what's happening. We're just having fun. Hey, the spirit of joy. But now look, when we talk about miracles, when we talk about Jesus healing people, it gets really muddy, you know, because the church has tried to define the willingness of God to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And I'll tell you what, I hate saying the church because I don't ever want to talk about God's bride in a bad way. When you talk about my wife, I'm going to punch you. I don't want, like, I'm a pastor, but you might see me on mobile patrol. Don't talk about my girl. Don't talk about my mom. Don't talk about my kids. We might have problems. But imagine talking about God's bride. That's a scary thought. So I'll say some churches have tried to define the issues that they see, and they've thrown the word of God away because of what they've seen. They've asked questions, well, is it really God's will to heal? And they'll even pray now, God, if it be thy will. Well, we can know the will of God. Some people say it like this. Well, I'll get healed when I go to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 11 that I'm the resurrection and the life. Not that heaven was the resurrection and life, but Jesus is. Some people say, well, the Lord is teaching me a spiritual lesson with this sickness. And if you've said any of these things, I don't want to indict you. I want to help show you the Word of God, what His will is. Like, people want to know, what is the will of God? You can know the will of God. It's not by our feelings. The will of God is not found and defined by our feelings or other people's experiences, not even our experiences. And that's where we get weird doctrine, when we find something that happened that might not line up with the Word. So now we try to define God's will and theology based on experiences and emotions, and it gets really muddy. Can we keep it simple? Can we define our theology by the Word and the Word alone? Because when we define what we believe by the Word and the Word alone, we can actually remain in knowing what God's will is. Amen. It's by the Word of God. And is it arrogant to believe we can know the will of God? Absolutely not. I mean, He's shown us His will by His nature, and He's given us His will by His Word. We got to realize that His Word and His nature always align with His will. What does God want to do? He said what He wants to do. It's in the Bible. It's been there a long time. What does God want to do? He shows us in His nature. He's been doing it for thousands of years. I believe His track record. He got a record we can follow and trust. And I don't want to teach the opposite. And this is what happened in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. There's a leper, and it says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, a leper came out and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. I mean, even the leper trusted the power of God. He just didn't know the will of God yet. And this is the problem, I think, with a lot of people in church, is we know the power of God. We just don't know the willingness of God. Think about Matthew chapter 7, right? Matthew chapter 7, it's talking about prayer. It says, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much greater does your heavenly Father know how to give? I don't think many people trust or doubt the power of God. I think many people have a misunderstanding of the will of God. And Jesus put out His hand and He touched him, which is like breaking every law. He destroyed social distancing. We're not even going to go down that trail. It's been so politicized. It's ridiculous. It makes me angry. But He said He touched him. He broke the rules. Because now Jesus should have got leprosy, but obviously He didn't because He's Jesus. And He said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And sometimes we wonder, man, is it God's will to heal me? I think when we examine Scripture, we absolutely find it's always God's will to heal. Every single time we examine Scripture, we find it's always God's will to heal. And we don't have to wonder anymore because we have the Word. Here's one of my concerns, is that a lot of people in church, they're great at attending on Sundays, but they're really not good at their devotion on Mondays. Can I tell y'all, life gets really easy when we know the Word. I know some of you look at me like, oh, that's pastor's son. No, look, let's talk on a real level. When you personally know the Word for yourself, it gets real easy. Because you don't have to try to live to the next Sunday and hope this pastor speaks to your situation. You can get the Word today. And know what He says today, and God can speak to you today. We got to be in our Word. Well, I don't know where to read. The Bible app is literally littered with thousands of Bible reading plans. And it's free. I'm a little upset that they changed the cover of it. It used to be this really nice brown. Now it's kind of this weird red. I'm going to write an open letter for petitions to change it back. No, and they messed it all up. But when we're in our Word, we can know His will. And I think like Scripture says it like this. People perish for a lack of knowledge. And we have the most, literally, there's never been a time in history where we could access the will of God, the Word of God, easier than before. There's never, like, you could get a Bible for free in the next 10 seconds if you run to the front. Security might get you, but we'll get you a Bible still, don't worry. You can sit here right now and download the Bible app. You don't even need to download an app. You can get on our free Wi-Fi and go to Bible.com and you can scroll the whole Bible. You can access millions of commentaries. You can watch thousands of sermons on YouTube. There is so much ability to get the Word of God now, but we still, for some reason, don't make time to know the will of God for our life. The will is learned through the Word. And I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God for yourself. You're not just here to live on a Sunday word till next Sunday. You're here to get encouraged on a Sunday, to be equipped, to be brought to maturity, to be brought to unity. And you're here to live in a relationship with Jesus Christ that is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even on Sunday, on your day of rest. It's time to then restart it and relive it and grow in our walk with Jesus. It's a personal responsibility for the word. I was just telling the teenagers Thursday, it's not my job to make sure that you are perfect with Jesus. I'm here to disciple you, but you got a personal responsibility for the Word of God. You got to personally take responsibility to read and apply and learn the Word of God. It's a personal thing. And when we take personal responsibility for it, our life goes to new levels. Our relationship goes to new levels. Can you imagine only seeing your wife for date night on Friday? It's not going to be date night. It's going to be, and this is what the kids did, and this is where you didn't show up. It's just going to be lecture at 2 hours. You're in trouble, man. You might feel a little good at the end. Like, man, it was really good to see her. But date night is easy when you talk all week. Because then all the issues were dealt with in the week and you can actually enjoy yourself. Man, don't make date day on Sunday morning with Jesus only. It's Monday, Tuesday. We know the will of God through the Word of God. And that wasn't even anything to do with the message. Let me get back on the notes. Pastor was like, set me up good for next Sunday. So, man, the leper asked the question, if it's your will... And Jesus answered, yes, I am willing, be cleansed. But if we're not convinced that it's God's will, think about this, then we can only pray in hope and not in faith. F.F. Bosworth, he said this, he said, faith begins where God's will is known. That's so powerful. Faith begins where God's will is known. When you know it's God's will to heal you, you can easily walk in faith, knowing that the creator of the heavens and the earth has desired to touch your body, to heal your body, to heal your mind, and to come into alignment with what you're believing for. See, it's not only God's will, it's also his nature. This is twofold. This is powerful, right? Because if it's only his will and not his nature, then we could question, does he have enough power? But it's his will and his nature. Not only does he have enough power, but he's willing to do this. He is God, Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth you. God that healeth thee, if we're talking King James Version. King James is just hard, guys. It's hard. I know some of y'all love it. It's difficult for me. But he's the God that heals. And what we find congruent through the Old and New Testament is the God that heals and sets free. And what we find in Exodus is the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, we find the Passover. This is the first time we find the body and the blood together. The blood, you guys said you've been to Rock Solid Faith, test time. What does the blood of Jesus represent? What was that? I think that was Shane. Was that you? Shane was on it. He got it. Shane, you got to be quiet on the next one, all right? Let the rest of the class figure it out. So the blood is forgiveness. The blood of Jesus represents forgiveness. But the body represents? You guys are good. You're on this. You sound like you've been through Rock Solid Faith. My goodness. What we find is congruent to the Old and New Testament is that the blood and the body are always one and the same. They've always been together. They've not been separated. And what many people try to do is they try to say, well, the covenant now is for forgiveness, but not for healing. And I would argue, because when you read about the covenants of God, when you read through his promises, they've always been correlated and together. In Exodus, they put the blood over the doorpost and they ate the body. They were protected and saved on that night from that death angel. And when they left the next day, not one of them was sick. Out of millions, not one of them was sick. Blood in the body. Psalm 105, verse 37, for the not one of them was feeble. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, says, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your disease. All. It's his nature. Isaiah chapter 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was whipped for our healing. New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. By his stripes you were healed. Were healed. It's congruent to the Old and the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. He took our illness and bore our disease. When we read through scripture, oh, I'll have to add that other scripture for next service. That's a good one. When we read through this, what we find is that healing and forgiveness, they're a team, they're a tandem. It's God's promise together. They're both in the same covenant. It's on the same contract. So you're buying the house and the land, not just the house. You get the whole thing in the contract. It's not just like singular contracts for singular moments. You know, it's kind of like how our government operates. They stuff a lot of extra into the bill and then they sign it. You know what God did? He stuffed extra in there and signed it with his son, Jesus. And now it's available to us. He stuffed our covenant. Hebrews says it like this, but it is Christ. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that's more excellent than the old covenant. He mediates it better since he enacted on better promises. You know what we have? We have new and better promises because of the new covenant, because of the blood of Jesus. And let me ask you this. One person in the new covenant that ever came to Jesus, were they denied? Not one. There was one where he said, no, this isn't your time. She wasn't a Jewish person. But she persisted and she still got what she came for. She still got a miracle because God moves by faith. Jesus never said, I can't heal you because you're learning something. Find me that in the scripture. Also, let's ask this question. If God is trying to heal you of something, and this, deal with it as you may. If God is trying to heal you, or if God is trying to teach you something by that illness, then why are you trying to medicate it and get rid of it if God is trying to teach you a lesson? Just logical questions here, you know? If God's trying to teach you something, why are you trying to go against what God's trying to teach you? Why are you trying to get out of it quicker if you believe that God placed it on you? Just a good question. And then also, like, we would have to demonize doctors if we believed that too. Doctors are awesome. We love doctors. There's doctors that come here. I think that they're used of God. Jesus never said, it's not God's will to heal you. Jesus actually said this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yes. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The nature of Jesus said, doing good and healing all of those oppressed of the devil. The question that the leprous man had was, are you willing? He said, not only am I willing, it's my nature and it's my ministry. It's still the ministry of Jesus to heal. Jesus is still the healer. I'm not a healer. Jesus is the healer. I love this. Let me read these scriptures real quick. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30, it says, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 34. Peter is praying for somebody, and he stops, and he looks, he says, Jesus the Christ, heals you. It's the will, it's the nature, and it's the ministry of Jesus to heal. It's all three, and it's scripture. And this is where we struggle often, is we might have an experience that doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. Therefore, we change the Word of God to match our experience. We got to make sure we don't do that. Is it okay to question and find answers? Absolutely, you should find answers. But it's not okay to change our theology based upon what we've experienced. What we can find from the Word of God, it is His will to heal. It is His will, it is His nature to heal, and it's His ministry to heal. It's all three, it's combined together, and He healed all that came to Him. Over 27 people were healed in their physical body in the New Testament, and we have the same right to be healed. He never one time told someone it wasn't His will to heal them. He never said, come back next Thursday. He never said, yeah, I'll heal you. Go to the doctors instead. Doctors do good things. I'm not saying anything against them. But Jesus heals. The Bible said that that Jesus healed them all. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. That evening, many demon-possessed people came and were brought to Jesus, and He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and He healed all the sick. There's like six scriptures right here. Matthew 14, 14, that evening, many demon-possessed people came to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple... Oh, I already read that one. Matthew 12, 15, but Jesus knew that what they were planning, so He left that area, and many people followed Him, and He healed all the sick among them. Mark 6, 56, wherever He went, in the villages, cities, and of the countryside, they brought the sick out in the marketplaces. They begged Him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of His robe. And all who touched him were healed. Luke 4:40, as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of His hand healed every one. Luke 9:1-2, one day Jesus called together His 12 disciples, gave them power and authority to cast out all the demons and heal all the diseases. And then He sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. One day, Jesus called together His 12 disciples, gave them power. I keep reading the same thing twice. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. I think we got to come to conclusions, and when we realize God's will, faith can come in. I know a lot of people that they wrestle with fear. They wrestle with FUD. I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I've been playing a little bit in the stock market. I'm really not that good at it, but it's fun. And I learned this term, and it's called FUD, and it's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And when they want to drive a stock down, they'll start to spread FUD. Man, when the devil wants to drive your faith down, he's going to spread FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And they're going to start to come alive in your heart. And probably 6 or 7 years ago now, I was in Mexico with Minister McKenzie. And it's crazy because what cancer is in America, how people have the fear of cancer, it's diabetes in Mexico. And we're at this beautiful church right on the, it was gorgeous, like 2 blocks from the beach in Campeche, Mexico. They caught this fish, like 12 of them, but mine was like this big. And they gut them and they scale them and then they fry them on both sides. Whew. One of the best meals in the world, pescado frito. It's amazing. I bet you could do it really good with like some bluegill or something up here. But anyway, I guess I'm getting off track. But it was amazing. And we get to the service that night. And then we're preaching and we start laying hands on the sick. And the pastor comes up like shaking in fear. So I asked the translator, like, what's going on? And we start talking, and he had just got diagnosed with diabetes. And his fear was that he was going to end up just like everybody else. He knew that diabetes was going to eventually destroy and cripple his life and long-term take it early. And unfortunately, He was buying the FUD instead of the will of God. Instead of the faith. And we prayed for him, and it was amazing. In that moment, Jesus literally healed him and set him free of diabetes, which, like I said, you hear diabetes here and people don't, it's a big deal, but it's not like quaking in fear. But he was quaking in fear, but Jesus healed him. And you got to realize that when Jesus heals, there's something that shifts and changes in a person. And I believe that when Jesus heals, he doesn't just do it for us, but he then wants to do it through us. And Pastor will talk about that next week. That's where he said, don't step on his toes. I was making you excited for next week, all right? But Jesus is still healing today. Man, questions for those who don't believe that Jesus is still healing today. Number one, if sickness and disease come from God, then Jesus fought against his father every step of his ministry. If sickness is the will of God, then every doctor, nurse, and medication is all from the devil. Why? Because they're striving to get you healthy, and if your sickness is from God, then why are you working against God? Another good question for you to wrestle with. If you don't believe that Jesus wants to heal, then if you believe sickness is from God, then why would you even go to the doctor? Not only are they demonic, but why would you even go to someone who's demonic? The next question is, we'll skip that. We'll let Pastor deal with it next week. It's not a hard one. It's just his topic, so we'll let him do it. But I believe that Jesus is still healing today. Man, and I'm excited that Jesus is a healer, because you look through Scripture and, man, people that experienced Jesus, people that got touched by Jesus, people that got healed by Jesus, they then went and often turn their cities upside down. And I'm excited that Jesus is a healer, and we believe in his love for people. I think that healing is a proof of the love of Jesus. It's not just for the believer, but it's to show the unbeliever that he does love and he is real and he is alive. And I'm excited, August 27th and 28th, just write it down right now, August 27th, August 28th. You remember the outreach we did in Grove Park probably 4 years ago now? We're doing another one at Grove again. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people, and tons of people gave their life to Jesus. And look, we're going to like give away a car. We're going to give away a bunch of stuff. We have free food, inflatables, all this stuff. But I'll tell you, none of that is what we're really there for. You're like, well, that's not authentic. I'm sorry. I think it's the most authentic thing, because we're showing love to people and filling needs. And two, we're filling the greatest need, and that's the need for Jesus. In Chemung County, Elmira, New York, Grove Park needs Jesus. And I know, and I'm excited, people are going to get healed at Grove Park. People are going to get saved at Grove Park. Not just from the preacher, but I think from the teams that are going out, knocking on doors and inviting. Someone comes up with a walker. Can I pray for you real quick? And they come walking without their walker to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's something different that's going to happen. It's not going to be the same that it's always been. We're not just waiting on the pulpit to do something. We are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We carry the power of God. We have the authority to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. God does want to use your life. Yes, God does see you. No, you're not overlooked. Actually, it's probably better that the world did overlook you, because God didn't. Jesus is still healing. Man, just what, 3-4 months ago, there was a lady who was, it was really sad. They had actually called in hospice, and her husband called myself and my brother, and we drove to the middle of nowhere. And we walked in, and they said that this lady who had been attacked by cancer, couldn't even sit up, couldn't even really talk, was literally inches and minutes from death. And I don't say this for me. This is like glory. I thank God he used my life for this. But we went in. We started praying. I started praying that Acts 9 verse 34 verse I just shared with you. That Jesus the Christ. It's not Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the Christ would do his ministry, and that's to heal. Because it's his will and his nature and his ministry to do those three things. And we start praying for this lady, and it was so powerful. It was so amazing. You could feel God show up in the room. Anybody ever been praying? You felt God show up in the room? God shows up in the room. And she literally starts talking. She sits up. She was so cute. Her first thing was like, go get me my nice dress and get me a shower. All right. Man, they get this precious woman into the shower. She gets put into her nice dress. And the rest of the night, she's eating, she's sitting up, she's talking. She's enjoying the moment with her family. It wasn't anything to do with me. It was the fact that Jesus, it's his will, it's his nature, and it's his ministry. And he's still doing it today. It's not because I have a title of Pastor Cody. It's because we prayed the word of God and Jesus showed up, because it's his nature, it's his will, and it's his ministry. And he's still healing. And I think he wants to heal people today. And I think he wants to heal people tomorrow and the next day and the next day, so we can proclaim the goodness of God in Chemung County. So we can proclaim that God is alive and he's real. And some other people might be on some other stuff, but this good God loves you and he wants to save you, and he's gonna prove it by healing you. Amen. And this is what God has for you. I'll tell you, he didn't just do it for her because she's a one-off. He didn't just do it for the pastor in Mexico because he's a one-off. He didn't just do it for Pastor Rhonda because she's a one-off. And he didn't just do it for random people at random times. It's his will, it's his nature, and it's his ministry to do and to heal the people that say that they love him. And that's what God has for you. And it's no mistake, and it's not dead with the first apostles. You can't even find that in the Bible. I'll tell you, if I gave someone a Bible, they'd walk away saying that God wants to save everybody, God wants to heal everybody, and God has an eternity for everybody. And that's what Jesus has for you. Today, we're going to pray for the sick in just a minute. But before we pray for the sick, I would like to let you know that there's only one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus. And I love miracles, but the greatest miracle is salvation. The greatest miracle is watching someone go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Going from darkness to life, going from death to life is the greatest miracle we'll ever see. It's so great that angels in heaven shout when people go from death to life. You don't find angels shouting over an arm growing or diabetes coming out. You find angels shouting over eternity changing. And I don't know your specific situation. I don't know how far you've gone. I don't know how bad you think you are. I don't know how good you think you are. I know that this is the truth, is you can be a mile from Jesus or an inch from Jesus. If we're away from Jesus, then eternity is away from Jesus. And it's not good people go to heaven, it's saved people go to heaven. It's people that surrender their life to Jesus. There's no other way to heaven but Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 14, verse 6. And today's your opportunity to come to the Father. Today's your opportunity to come to life. I mean, we can't build up a big enough bank account of good works or bad works, but we can surrender our life to Jesus. Some people have tried to make it be, well, you just come to church. No, you don't just come to church. You have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to teach you how to love God. I'm here to equip you, mature you, bring you to unity. That's my job, to have a relationship with Jesus who loves you and died for you. And today, maybe you don't have that relationship with Jesus. Today's your moment. God wants you right now. Well, I got to clean myself up first. No, you don't. You can't do it anyways. If you could do it without God, he wouldn't have needed to send his son to do it for you. When you come to Jesus, he makes you clean. Justified is the word. Well, I've still got these issues. Awesome, he'll work them out with you. It's called sanctification. When you come to Jesus, justification is like this. It's like the judge puts down the gavel. Says, not guilty anymore. The moment you come to Christ. And sanctification is learning how to be more like Christ as he cleans you up. Try to clean yourself up first and then come to Christ. Come to Christ and he'll get you right. Come to Jesus and he'll get you right. Come to Jesus, he'll get you right, and get into a community who's going to love you and help you get there too. That's what we're here for. Today, if you don't serve Jesus, or maybe you used to and now you're living a life of sin, a lifestyle of sin. This whole once saved, always saved is not true at all. If it was true, read Hebrews chapter 10 and explain to me how someone could be an apostate if they once served Christ and now don't. Simple question. But Jesus loves you. I don't care where you're at. I know that Jesus wants you right where you're at. And if you've never given your life or you've walked away, you've been living a lifestyle of sin, and this morning say, I need to get right with God. I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to answer some of your questions. We want to get you set up in the right place and going in the right direction. If that's you and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, will you wave your hand at me and say, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God in this room. Amen. First service is super saved. This is good. Maybe you're in the room and say, I don't know, I'm just nervous. I don't want to raise my hand. Man, you can come right up right after and talk to Mindy. Answer any of your questions. Pray with you. Can we all stand to our feet? Almost done. If you're in this room saying, I need to be healed, and you talked about healing. Man, can I increase your faith for a minute? I've seen God do so many miraculous things. Last week on Thursday, there was a kid who showed up, wasn't a believer, with a messed up ACL. Not only did his ACL get healed last Thursday night, but he gave his life to Jesus for the very first time. I've seen countless miracles. Just 2 months ago, my little nephew Eli had some, it was a lactose issue. Came to the altar and it wasn't anything crazy and huge. We just prayed for him. Now he's perfectly fine. No lactose issue because of Jesus. Like while he grew out of it. Yeah, in the moment we prayed for him, he grew out of it. How likely? Crazy coincidence, huh? Seen so many people healed, and God's not done. Can I encourage you? God's not done. Today, you're standing here saying, I have faith to be healed. Can I tell you, that's the truth. When you get God's will, you can have faith for what God wants to do in your life. It's his will, it's his nature, and guess what? It's still his ministry. Jesus the Christ wants to heal you today. If you got faith today to be healed, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, even right now. I don't care where you are. I don't care how big, how small. Will you get out of your seat and make your way to the front so we can pray for you? Prayer team, can you guys come on up? I don't care what it is, how big, how small. You can go ahead and get out of your seat even right now. We're going to worship for a second. We're going to lay hands on you. And I believe that Jesus the Christ, who is still the healer, who is still healing, wants to touch your life, wants to touch you in your body, wants to heal you even today. I don't care if it's a big thing like cancer. I don't care if it's a little thing like a cold. I know that Jesus is still the healer. I don't care how big it might seem, how small it might seem. It's his will, and it can't defeat the blood and the body of Jesus. It's his nature, and it's his ministry. But we're going to worship, and here's what I want to encourage you to do. Maybe you're saying, hey, I'm good in here. I don't need to get healed. Amen. If you got a couple minutes, stay in here and pray with us. If you got to go, there's two things that I'd love for you to do. Number one, I'd love for you to join a small group. Stop doing this thing alone. You need some people in your life. You need to join a small group. People hike. People read books. People talk about sermon notes. Join a group. Number two, if you don't feel like you're connected, maybe because it's your first time, maybe you've been coming for a while, and you just don't feel connected at all, right over on this side, down this hall, we have a room specifically for you so you feel connected. We know in a church this size, it's easy to feel, I don't know anybody and I feel disconnected. I don't want that for anybody. This is the body of Christ. The body should know each other. If you feel disconnected on any level, right over on this side, we want to connect with you. We want to answer some questions. We want to hang out, get to know you. Because not only is he the God that sees you, but also is the church that wants to connect with you. We see you. Amen? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pray for those who say, I'm sick of my body. And I believe that Jesus is going to show up, and he's going to heal people in this room today. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you're still in the ministry of healing. We thank you that you're still in the nature, that your nature's not yet changed. We thank you that your will has not changed, that you love us, that you desire to heal us, and that, Father, you desire to heal through us. So, Lord, have your way in this room, which is to set the captives free, which is to do miracles, signs, and wonders among your people. In the name of Jesus, in the name above every name, if you love him, you're excited about him, can I hear an amen? Amen. Cole, come up here. You guys are free to go. If you're up at the front, we're going to worship for a minute. We're going to lay hands on you. And I believe that Jesus the Christ is going to heal your bodies. In the name of Jesus.
In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are.
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 Oh, that is who you are.
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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you work it. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you work it. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you work it. Even when I don't feel it, you work it. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.